Hello, this is Chris with the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, June 11th. We'll begin today's reading on the front page. Big hugs, happy tears. Centennial graduate shines from within as she takes the crown. From Marion. Her senior year at the University of Illinois can wait. For 21-year-old Grace Kachaturian, the next 12 months will be devoted to her role as Miss Illinois. Can't wait to get started, the Champaign native said Sunday morning, hours after being crowned at the Marion Cultural and Civic Center. I'm not sure exactly what the next year is going to look like, but I'm going to try and be the best that I can be. The 03 Miss America Erica Harold, a U of I grad, serving as MC, 69 Miss America Judy Ford Nash in attendance, and reigning Miss Illinois Abby Foster, sharing the stage, Kachaturian was among familiar East Central Illinois faces late Saturday night. Also in the crowd, her parents, Steve and Janet, and her triplet siblings, Benjamin and Christian. There were big hugs, she said, and happy tears. On Sunday, Miss Illinois officials and the Kachaturians were developing a game plan of what to do and when to do it. High on the priority list, preparing for the Miss America pageant September 9th in Atlantic City. She worked really hard for Miss Illinois, Steve Kachaturian said, and she'll work harder for Miss America. She's excited to have an impact. At Centennial, Grace Kachaturian was an academic, athletic, and artistic standout. She founded the fundraising Dance Marathon, was an all-area golfer, and was the lead in several theater productions. In Marion, Kachaturian performed a lyrical dance to You Raise Me Up. She won $10,000 in scholarships for taking the state crown. I'm just so humbled to have completed alongside these women, she said. I cannot wait to go to Miss America and represent Miss Illinois. Urbana's Herald took to Twitter to congratulate Kachaturian, saying she watched a young lady I've known since she was four years old win the crown. Grace Kachaturian dances beautifully, shines from within on stage, and has a servant's heart. Congrats to Amazing Grace. On second try, Democrats nominate Douglas. In the latest twist in a month-long drama, Democratic precinct committee members have chosen attorney Tracy Douglas to fill the 22nd seat on the Champaign County Board. Douglas, a supervising attorney at the University of Illinois College of Law's Community Preservation Clinic, received more votes than Patsy Petrie and will be nominated for the District 6 seat vacated by Josh Hartke on June 21st. Absent from Sunday's meeting was Charles Young, who came out on top of a May 17th vote by county Democrats. But Weibel rejected his nomination, saying that the short notice given for that meeting violated party bylaws. If ratified, Douglas would become the only attorney on the current board. And from Urbana, dockless bike sharing vote tonight. Regulations take concerns into account. The City Council will vote tonight on an intergovernmental agreement to allow dockless bike sharing throughout town. The agreement is between Urbana, Champaign, and the University of Illinois. If approved, dockless bike share companies will have to follow regulations for operating in each area. Dockless bike share companies provide rental bike rides. When riders are finished, they park the bike in certain areas around town instead of a specific docking infrastructure that would need to be installed. Each company has a smartphone app that riders use to locate a bike, unlock it, and pay for a ride. Each bike is equipped with a GPS tracker and locking mechanism on the back wheel. People without smartphones can call the company. A phone number will be displayed on the bike and have an employee sent over to unlock the bike in person. The Champaign City Council already approved dockless bike sharing at the end of last year. Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin said the plan is to have it set up in each city by the start of the coming school year. When Urbana Council members first discussed the activity in April, there were some concerns. Alderman Dean Hazen spoke about the possibility of bikes being stolen, abandoned, vandalized, or parked improperly, like in a way that blocks a disabled access ramp, for example. Marlin said Urbana's proposed regulations for dockless bike share companies take that into account. Each member of the intergovernmental agreement will set restrictions on where the bikes can be parked. We're going to have a lot of education telling people where they should and shouldn't park. I hope the bike sharing company works on that. The city might as well. In addition, Urbana City Planner Kevin Garcia told Hazen that the branded dockless bikes don't have much resale value and are hard to break down into usable scrap components. If one is stolen, damaged, or improperly parked, the operating company will be required to retrieve it within 3 hours of notification during peak riding periods and within 12 hours of notification during off-peak periods. Peak riding periods are Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturday from noon to 10 p.m., according to a city staff report. Each company would be required to have a local staff member who can be reached from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. The regulations are very important, particularly from a safety and appearance standpoint. We don't want bikes littering the community. Another proposed regulation is that the companies provide monthly data to the intergovernmental agreement members each month. That would include the total number of rides purchased, the number of unique riders, the mean and median ride duration and distance, the mean number of bikes in service daily, and the amount of bikes removed from service. Marlin said that information would be useful and reviewed by the city regularly. Other proposed regulations in Urbana, according to the report, companies must pay a non-refundable annual license fee of $600 and a $2,000 security deposit, and they must have commercial general liability. Companies must receive a concession agreement with the U of I before receiving a license. Each license will expire after a year. And each company would be allowed a fleet of 500 bikes. It can be increased or decreased if all members of the intergovernmental agreement approve. And each bike must meet the minimum operational and safety standards defined by the federal government, including having front and rear lights. And if any member of the intergovernmental agreement determines that a company's license should be suspended or revoked, that decision will apply for the other agreement members as well. From Crime Stoppers, wanted information on Rantoul shooting. Champaign County Crime Stoppers needs help solving a shooting in Rantoul that left a man with a leg injury. At about 9:26 a.m. Friday, June 1st, officers were sent to the 1100 block of Falcon Drive, where multiple shots had been fired. Officers found a 21-year-old man who had been shot in the lower leg inside an apartment. An adult woman and a young child were also present but not injured. Several spent shell casings were found in the road, and two vehicles had been struck by gunfire. Witnesses said they saw a man run from the area, then get in a light-colored four-door vehicle. Investigators asked that anyone with information on this shooting contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS. Also on the front page, Burnham buyer misses deadline, but Enk told Unit 4 news site almost secured, from Champaign. The Winnetka preservationist who plans to relocate the Burnham mansion missed his second Friday deadline to tell the Champaign School District where it would go. Champaign School Board President Chris Kloppel confirmed Friday that the district had not yet received the documentation it has requested from Christopher Enk, who bought the mansion from the district for $10 last month. But that doesn't necessarily mean Enk hasn't secured a location. He sent us an email saying the contract is with the sellers. He has indicated he would have a signed contract to us early this week. Where Enk plans to move the mansion remains unknown. If Enk does find a suitable location, Unit 4 has pledged $50,000 to help with the move, money that would have gone to demolishing Burnham. July 15th remains Enk's deadline to move the house out of the path of the expansion on Champaign Central High School. After that date, fines begin to kick in. Memories live on in the disappearance of Ying Ying Zhang 1 year later. We will never give up on finding her, from Urbana. About 50 somber people gathered Saturday afternoon at the Illini Union, determined to carry on the memory of a young Chinese scholar whose life is believed to have been cut short a year ago for no apparent reason other than evil. We will never give up on finding her until we bring her back to her family and her hometown, Jing said of Ying Ying Zhang. Jing, vice president of the University of Illinois Chinese Students and Scholars Association, presided over an approximately 40-minute memorial service dedicated to burning Miss Zhang's memory into the collective conscience of the U of I and Champaign-Urbana communities. Interim U of I Police Chief Matt Myrick said what many have felt in the years since the 26-year-old woman went missing. Many lives would be forever changed based on the circumstances that were out of our control, said Myrick, who has put in countless hours in the investigation that began on June 10, 2017, the day after Ms. Zhang failed to return home from an appointment. She has never been found. We all know there are bad people in the world, but I believe the majority of people are good. Ying Ying was certainly one of the good people, but she had the misfortune of coming in contact with one of the bad people. The alleged bad person, Brent Christensen, 28, is in the custody of federal authorities, charged with kidnapping resulting in death and lying to the FBI. He faces the death penalty when he is tried next year. I share your feelings of the helplessness, said Martin McFarlane, director of the U of I's International Student and Scholar Services Office. McFarlane said he had not met Ms. Zhang, but members of his staff had. I wish there was more I could do. I wish I had some magic words. We recognize that every single day that goes on without resolution is a terrible burden to that family. In addition to the remarks of Merrick and McFarlane, organizers of Saturday's service played a video message from the Office of the Deputy Consul General for the People's Republic of China, offering solace to Ms. Zhang's family in China and the hope for justice for her kidnapper. Ying recalled how he joined hundreds of scouring the campus for Ms. Zhang the day after she went missing. With the group, he said, was an American student who couldn't speak or understand Chinese. It moved me so deeply because it made me realize that caring is beyond language and nationality. A 4-minute video put together by friends opened with Ms. Zhang singing the 2002 Avril Lavigne hit Complicated with a band backing her. It included happy photos of her working in the field on her research and messages from her bereft parents, her fiancé, and more than a dozen friends vowing never to forget her. Ying said the group intends to release plans in the next couple of weeks for a small garden around the tree where she was last seen. The plan is for the Chinese students and scholars, with the blessing of the U of I and the city of Urbana, to create a small memorial on Goodwin Avenue where Miss Zhang waited for a bus but instead got into a car with a stranger. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler, who has been instrumental in getting that memorial to come to fruition, said the U of I Extension and the Master Gardeners will assist in its design. It will likely include a mix of perennial and annual plants that will bloom in spring, summer, and fall, and have some sort of marker in English and Chinese. Something to help anyone who passes by there to know that someone special had a connection to that space, and it might be nice to think about her. And in a related article, for family, uncertainty is the cruelest part. The phone calls usually come once a week during the day when it's the middle of the night back home in China. When Rangio Zhang feels the heartache of missing his daughter Ying Ying, who disappeared a year ago from the University of Illinois campus. When his wife, Li Feng Ye, has the reoccurring dream that her daughter is still alive somewhere. That's when they reach out to Guy Pingling, one of the many Chinese Americans in Champaign-Urbana who befriended the family during those awful days last summer. Lin does what she can to provide comfort over the phone, assuring the parents that no one, not students, the university, the police, the Chinese community, nor Champaign-Urbana has forgotten about their daughter. We're thinking of her all the time. We're with the parents. We understand what they are going through, Lin said last week. Friends and colleagues marked the one-year anniversary of Ying Ying Zhang's abduction Saturday with a memorial service and plans for a permanent garden on North Goodwood Avenue where she was last seen alive. But they acknowledged that it's difficult to move on because she still hasn't been found. With death, there is grief, but also closure. Here there is grief and pain and something more cruel, uncertainty. Waiting to find out what happened to a beloved friend and daughter. Waiting to simply find her and take her home. We still don't know what happened. We still don't know where she is. Even if we know she is gone, said Guan Miao, a friend of Miss Zhang. It's part of Chinese culture that a falling leaf should return to its roots. So we really want to find Ying Ying and bring her back to her hometown and her family. Miss Zhang, a visiting scholar from China, was on her way to sign a lease for a new apartment on June 9, 2017, when she disappeared, prompting a massive search. Police later found security camera footage that showed her getting into a black Saturn Astra at North Goodwin Avenue and Clark Street in Urbana, where she'd been waiting for a bus. 3 weeks later, police arrested former U of I physics graduate student Brent Christensen, who was later charged with kidnapping, resulting in Miss Zhang's death. Christensen remains in custody at the Livingston County Jail and faces the death penalty at his trial, which is scheduled for April 2019, nearly 2 years after her disappearance. The FBI, U.S. Attorney's Office, and U of I Police Department have declined to comment on where the investigation stands 1 year later, or exactly what they think happened to Ms. Zhang. Her body has not been found. This is still an ongoing investigation, and we are continuing to assist the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, said Pat Wade, spokesman for the U of I Police. Prosecutors and Christensen's defense attorneys are near the beginning of a long series of deadlines set by U.S. District Court Judge Colin Bruce in February. Prosecutors had a deadline in May to provide certain evidence to defense attorneys, but the defense has until July 13th to file motions in response. Then there are deadlines for defense lawyers to give notice if they plan to seek an insanity defense, to file motions about changing the trial venue, and to file motions about jury selection. It's obviously a very slow, frustrating process, said Steve Beckett, the family's lawyer in Urbana. Zolin Hao, Ms. Zhang's boyfriend, is back at Beijing University, pursuing his doctoral research in agriculture but keeping close tabs on the case. He emailed Beckett last week. They just want to know what's going on in the case, but the process of defense and prosecution is very deliberate, so it takes time. Ms. Zhang had come to the U of I just weeks before her abduction, arriving in April 2017 as a visiting scholar in the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences. Mao worked daily in the lab and field with Ms. Zhang. Mao took her to Nebraska in May 2017 for their research project, using technology to collect data on crop yields and improve land management. They liked to go out for Indian food or sample other restaurants, and they visited Allerton Park in Monticello together. A photo of Ms. Zhang from that trip was used for the missing person flyers posted throughout Champaign-Urbana. Ms. Zhang had a passion for life in the United States and working hard. Everything was new and exciting. She was particularly intrigued by the spacious, flat central Illinois landscape, a far cry from densely populated Beijing or the hilly terrain of her hometown in Fujian province in southeastern China. Ms. Zhang came to work in the lab as usual on the morning of June 9th, but asked for time off during lunch to sign a lease for a new apartment in North Urbana. By 3 p.m., Mao was surprised Ms. Zhang hadn't returned, but figured she may have needed more time to tour the apartment or look around the neighborhood. At dinner time, she still wasn't back. Mao and another colleague who had talked with Ms. Zhang about going to dinner together tried calling her. No answer. Later, they went to Ms. Zhang's apartment, but she wasn't home. Something didn't feel right. They went to the police department at 8 p.m. to report her missing. They didn't have any contact information for Ms. Zhang's family, so Mao called her own friends in China, who reached Ms. Zhang's former colleagues at Beijing University. They in turn contacted Hao, her boyfriend, who notified the Zhang family. The case and its sensational details received widespread attention almost immediately, both here and in China. The Chinese Students and Scholars Association took the lead in raising awareness on social media, contacting news outlets, and organizing volunteers for searches. Members of the Native Chinese community in Champaign-Urbana in Chicago also supported Rao Zhang and other family members once they arrived. U of I officials helped the students and arranged for Ms. Zhang's father, aunt, and Hao to travel here from China providing paperwork for the State Department to approve emergency visas and securing airline tickets. Her mother and younger brother came later in August. Anna Tsai, a staff member in the U of I Office of Student Affairs, was one of several people who helped out with translating as family members met with U of I officials, police, and lawyers representing the family. Part of it was cultural translation, explaining the U.S. legal system to the family and helping authorities understand how and why the Chinese would think this way. She wrestled with how to break bad news to the parents to help them prepare for the worst without dashing hope. She wanted to be truthful so they understood everything, but not callous. We want to be as helpful as you can and support them in every way you can, and try to be strong and not emotional, which was difficult. Every time you walk in, you really don't know what to expect. You just wonder, so what is new now? How do you tell the parents that the reality is you probably won't expect her to come back? Unfortunately, it came out as the worst case scenario. The most difficult day, all agree, was June 30th, when the police arrested Christensen and told the family that they believed Ms. Zhang had been killed. That was the darkest time for the family. At the time, they wrestled with whether to provide details to Ms. Zhang's mother, who was still in China. She had been struggling with her daughter's disappearance and her health. They decided to wait, said Mao, who went to the police department with the family that day. A year later, Mao still is overcome recalling the events. We always know what happened, but, she said, pausing to wipe away tears. Until that day, she said, Miss Zhang's friends and family tried to maintain hope. Hope that she wasn't being held prisoner somewhere, perhaps even under torture, but could be found and rescued. Ying Ying was tough. As long as she was alive, she could always find a way to help. Nobody expected this. Li Feng Ye still has trouble accepting that her daughter is gone. I think she still clings on this hope that she's still out there somewhere. As a mother, you understand why she thinks that way. In every way she can, she wanted to have that hope. Gui Pinglin forged a unique bond with Ms. Zhang's parents. Lin, who owns the Asian supermarket on North Prospect Avenue and met the family last June after hearing about the case when students dropped off flyers at her store. She is from the same province in China, so she felt she could provide food the family was accustomed to. She took groceries or meals to them almost every day while they stayed in Orchard Downs and later another apartment in Urbana. Lin said she wanted to do what she could to provide comfort. They were so far away from home, and she thought it would help to know that someone in the United States cared. She also traveled with them a couple of times to Chicago, where a large Chinese-American community from Fujian province provided support for her family. Now when she gets a call from Renago Zhang, who used to sit on his daughter's apartment stoop at Orchard Downs in the middle of the night when he couldn't sleep, she tries to simply listen and keep him company, asking about his job. He's been unable to return to work as a truck driver, but now works at an information desk for another company in China. Her sense is that he has accepted his daughter's death. But Lin's conversations with Li Feng Yi are different. Lin merely tries to comfort her and reassure her that police are still looking for her daughter. In early April, on a day when it's customary for Chinese people to visit their ancestors' graves, Lin sent them a picture of the impromptu memorial for Miss Zhang at Goodwin and Clark, where an anonymous donor had again placed fresh flowers. She wanted them to know that people do remember. Lin called the Zhangs again Tuesday to tell them she still has customers walk in the store, both Asian and American, who ask how the family is holding up. A lot of people are thinking of Ying Ying, she said through a translator. The family returned to China in November after defense attorneys asked for the trial to be delayed. They wanted to reserve the limited funds they have to help find their daughter and return for the trial. When they come back, they want to visit Ying Ying's old apartment as well as the memorial, the last place where their daughter was seen alive. It gives them some sense of comfort. Every time they think of her, they want to visit where she was before. The family is not marking the one-year anniversary in China. Li Feng Yi says there is no point, because she believes her daughter is still alive. Whenever the Zhangs are asked for comment, Lin said they have one message: Find our daughter as soon as possible. The case has taken obvious toll on all involved. Mao, who helped arrange a video for Saturday's memorial, said it may have been a comfort to Miss Zhang's family and friends, but for Yingying herself, whatever we did, it's nothing. That's why they want to build a permanent garden as a memorial, so everybody can know there is a girl like Yingying. Still, the case hasn't changed her view of the U of I or the United States. It's all just because of this bad person. This is just one specific individual. It could happen anywhere, anytime. The case frightened Chinese students last summer, particularly since it happened in the afternoon. Ying thinks that fear has subsided, though women are still probably more careful about safety and interacting with strangers. Ying locks his door, something he never used to do, but added, "There are bad people in all countries." Lin came to the United States in 1991 with her husband, then an exchange scholar at the U of I in chemistry who now works in private industry. They stayed in Champaign because they felt it was a very good community to raise a family. They have no plans to leave, but Zhang's case made them feel this wasn't always a safe community. "It just felt different now," she said. "It just makes you reevaluate everything." A letter to the editor. If you must have the bike, enjoy it. To the person who borrowed my 26-inch girl's red 10-speed Bianchi Main Street bicycle on June 5th in the early afternoon, I invite you to please return it to the garage near John and Mattis where you found it. We won't ask you any questions, just please bring it back to where you found it. This bike has given me many miles of joy since 1991, and just this spring I splurged and had a new chain and other new parts installed. I expected to have many more wonderful years of pedaling this bike. But if you like this bike as much as I have, I wish you many years of enjoying the numerous bike paths and trails in and around Champaign-Urbana, the exemplary service at our community's bicycle shops, and the camaraderie and fun with the local bike groups. Whether you are an adult or a child, the bike clubs lead rides nearly every day that will help you stay fit. It's much cheaper than joining a gym, and cycling helps you be more respectful of the environment, too. In the future, if you want to have something that is not yours, please ask. I might have just given you the bike knowing that you would find as much pleasure in biking as I have. Deborah Karplus, Champaign. Asian Taste opens in Campus Town. A new Chinese restaurant is open in Campus Town. Owners Guan and Jennifer Lee of Urbana started up Asian Taste at 502 East John Street in Champaign. Lee said the restaurant wants to be known for its modern interpretation of classic dishes and its insistence on using only high-quality fresh ingredients. Lee said she also owns a restaurant in California and has 20 years of experience working in restaurants. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, June 11th. Please stay tuned.